Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. You know, real estate investing is actually a team sport. It is. It's a team sport. It's kind of like football or soccer, if you prefer. It's a little like baseball. It's very much like water polo. It's also like lacrosse. Yeah, as a matter of fact, the more I think about it, it's kind of like horse racing and, believe it or not, swimming. Yeah, it's even like swimming. It's a team sport. In other words, if you decide that you're going to be an expert or a professional or the best of the best in this particular sport, you can't do it alone. I'm telling you, you just can't do it alone. I mean, you could try. There are people that try. There are people that get it in their minds that they're going to just make it happen. They're going to will it to work. They're in their mind, they're like, oh, it's going to work when my head's about ready to explode, but it's going to work. Yeah, well, that doesn't work. What works is a team approach. You heard me correctly, a team approach. Now, that doesn't mean everybody in your team is like equal or, you know, co-leaders or whatever you might think a team approach looks like. That's not the way a team is organized. You see, a team is organized with somebody maintaining control at all times. Yeah, that's right. That person might be called a coach. Maybe they're called a manager. Maybe they're called Bob. I don't know what they're called. Well, actually, I do know what they're called. I'm just being facetious with you. But my point is this. You have to approach investing in real estate as a team sport because there are so many elements to real estate investing. You have to have a relationship with somebody that maybe has a better understanding of a particular element of real estate investing that you may not have. So what am I getting at? Okay. Let's talk about contractors. Let's talk about contractors. A solid contractor has been in the business for a while. Now, there are also good contractors that are just getting started. They are people that have a good business plan. They are people that have a work ethic. They are people that are hungry to do the right thing by their clients. And either one will work out well for you. Now, the person that's been in the business longer has a lot more experience. They have a lot more knowledge than the person just getting started. They do. But that person getting started, man, that person, if you've got the right one, that person is hungry and they will do the best job that they can for you. They are so concerned about customer satisfaction that they're going to make it happen for you. And the key thing is this, who do you want on your team? Which contractor do you want on your team? You have to figure that out because you have to look at your own skill sets. Yeah, you have to look at what your strengths and your weaknesses are. Now, I will tell you firsthand, one of my weaknesses is that I have a broken body. Yeah, I've got a broken body. Yeah, that's right. 27 years in the Army, beat this body into submission. At the ripe old age of 57, my mind is like the age of 20. My body is like the age of 90. Yeah, that's kind of what goes on in this shell that I live in. So I know because my body is so beaten down, I'm not going to do any of the major labor in any of my properties. Yeah, because you know what? I am not the best qualified person to do that. I want somebody better qualified. And you're saying, okay, well, you're talking about general contractors, Al. Okay, so let's bring it to the general contractor. So the general contractor depending on who you choose, maybe somebody who gets his hands dirty. Maybe this person like works in his business and not on his business. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's that person's business model. Here's the other thing. The general contractors that I have found that are really good at what they do, they tend to not work in their business. That's right. They tend not to be their own laborer. And the reason for that is because there's a lot of things that go on kind of behind the scenes in that contracting world that need to be addressed and dealt with. There's an orchestration going on by that contractor. And if that contractor is hanging drywall, that contractor is not dealing with the orchestration that needs to occur. Maybe that is scheduling the people that are going to come in and do the follow-on renovations. You know, maybe that's your painters or something. I don't know. But here's what I do know. The people that you put on your team will absolutely make or break you. They will absolutely make or break you. So you need to be selective. Don't just go out and meet somebody. You know, you're at the gas station pumping gas. Some guy pulls up in a beaten down work truck and kind of gets out, starts pumping gas. You say hello. They say hello. He hands you his card. Hey, I'm a general contractor. You look at his truck. You look at him and you go, wow, I don't know. You're not probably the kind of general contractor I'm looking for because I think you're working in your business, not on your business. And I'm looking for one that's working on his business. So why is that so important? Why is it so important to have members of your team that are working on their business and not in their business? Well, it has to do with their ability to manage multiple things. It does. And when I look at the way I approach my real estate investing business, I approach it the same way. See, I work on my business. I don't work in my business. In other words, I'm fighting my taxes right now. I'm fighting my property taxes right now. And you know what I did? I went to the vendor site and picked the guy best qualified. That's how I'm working on my business. Come back from the break. I got more to share. Stick around.
Del Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Del, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited. Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Wamsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in the real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Today is a very good day. It's a great day to be a real estate investor. It's a great day to be retired. It's just a great day. And I'll tell you what, I've gone back into my brain, back into the archives of my mind, and I have recalled days that were not so great. I have recalled days that made me wish I was doing something other than what I was doing at that time. Now, as some of you know, I spent about 27 years in the United States Army. And in my military experience, I've been to a lot of places in the world. I have done a lot of interesting things. I've done a lot of not so interesting things. I have been excited. I have been bored. I have been everything in between. And in that 27-year career, I was slogging away, if you will, at earning a retirement. Because in my mind's eye, that retirement was going to help me somehow in the future. So what was that retirement I was focused on? Well, it was a pension. It was a pension. And I do earn a pension right now. I did serve the minimum time required to earn a military pension. So I am the beneficiary of a pension. But the problem with the pension is it doesn't provide everything I need for my household. No, it doesn't. My cost of living is higher than what that pension provides. And as a result of that, I had to go back into the workforce. I did. And when I retired from the military, I had about a 10-month period of time where I was trying real hard to find a job. And it was difficult. I mean, I was running into all kinds of obstacles. A lot of those obstacles had to do with ageism. Now, could I prove any of that? No, can't prove it. But it seemed pretty prevalent at the time. Well, 10 months later, I get into a job and I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm going to do my best for this job because that's one of the things you learn in the military. You always give it your all. So I gave it my all and I was working very, very hard. But I was, let's be honest, I was overqualified for the job that I had because, you know, my military experience, I was, and I'm not bragging, but I'll just tell you, I was a military officer. I retired as a lieutenant colonel. I served in battalion commands. I've served in group level or brigade level commands as a deputy commander. So I've had responsibility for a lot of things. And when I tell you a lot of things, it's the soldiers and the equipment that those soldiers use and the ability to move those soldiers and equipment downrange to prosecute the wars in accordance with, you know, what's going on in our country and what our civilian leadership tells us to do. You get a lot of experience doing that type of thing. And as a military officer, one of the things that I quickly learned as a lieutenant was that I had to rely on my team. Yeah. See, as a brand new second lieutenant in the United States Army, you know what the Army did for me? They assigned me a platoon. And you're thinking, what's that? Is that like a hat? What is that? What is a platoon? Okay. A platoon is a unit of people and equipment with a operational mission. In other words, there's certain things that they are designed to be able to do. And as a second lieutenant, you're assigned to a platoon. I mean, that's really the first job you get as a lieutenant. It's the first leadership job you get. And all of a sudden, like in my case, I had like 30 some odd people that I was responsible for. Boom, right out of college, right in the Army. Bam, there you go, man. You're responsible for this group of people. And the Army gave me somebody with a lot of wisdom to help me manage that platoon. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'll just tell you the guy's name because I remember my first platoon sergeant's name. This guy was 6'7", about 240 pounds. He was a big man. His name was Verlin Grant. Yeah. Now, Verlin Grant was a sergeant first class in the United States Army. And when I showed up as a brand new second lieutenant, you know, just all out of college and having gone through my officer basic course, I mean, I was ready, right? Well, Verlin, in all of Verlin's wisdom, now I will tell you, Verlin passed away many years ago, but the impact this guy made on my life is really what I want to talk about. And it has to do with building teams. See, Verlin had something like, at the time I showed up, Verlin had like over 20 years of Army experience. Yeah, he was kind of on the promotion list, just waiting to get to that next rank, that next position or responsibility. So let's put it in perspective here. 22-year-old kid is assigned to a platoon of warriors consisting of about 30 warriors and all the equipment, which was in the millions of dollars that this unit this platoon utilized in order to execute their wartime mission. So, Verlin Grant, 20 years Army experience. Al Gordon, 20 minutes Army experience. Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you the way it is. And here's the thing that I learned from Sergeant First Class Grant. I learned that if I could get his respect, even though I outranked him. Can you believe that? As a brand new second lieutenant, I had rank over this guy. I was large and in charge. You know what the first thing that I did when I showed up in that unit and I sat down with Sergeant Grant for our initial counseling? I said this, Sergeant First Class Grant, I am not God's gift to the Army. As a matter of fact, I know enough to be dangerous, really dangerous. What I expect from you, Sergeant, is to put me into your training cycle. Help me get to where I need to be as a second lieutenant so that I can effectively lead this platoon. And I looked straight in Sergeant Grant's eyes when I told him that. Well, this crusty soldier was looking straight back in my eyes. And after about maybe, I don't know, 30 or 40, possibly 60 seconds of him just glaring back at me, and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is not going to go well. All of a sudden, a small smile, a very faint smile, started to appear on this guy's face. Very faint. And a few seconds later, that smile got a little bigger and a little bigger. And all of a sudden, I realized that Sergeant Grant, he actually had teeth. Yes, he actually had teeth, because all of a sudden this smile was large and it was just prominent. And you know what he said? He looked me straight in the eye and he said, you know what, sir? You and I, we're going to get along just fine. Because Sergeant Grant understood that the basic principle of the military, especially the United States Army, was built on teams. And the fact that I came in, and even though I was responsible and in charge of that team, I was smart enough to tell the guy with the most experience in that team that I needed a little help. And you know what? That guy put me under his wings, and he made an officer out of me. We come back from the break. We're going to get back into this discussion of why teams are so important. Stick around.
Del Wamsley talks about understanding the system.
Guy told me the other day on the radio, he says, you know, I understand the system. They let the stock market go up to feed our ego, to think we're getting somewhere, and then they crash it on us and take it all away. So now we're stuck. He says, I've lived through two of those cycles, so he started investing in real estate to get away from the cycle.
Are you ready to break the cycle? Start investing in real estate today. Find out how. Join Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So I was telling you about Sergeant Grant. I mean, that guy, he was an imposing man. This man was a big man, 6'7", 240 pounds, and that was his fighting weight. I mean, this guy was all muscle and all no nonsense. And when I showed up as a second lieutenant and extended an olive branch, if you will, basically told him that I was at least wise enough to realize that I didn't know what I was doing. And more importantly, I had to get myself trained up on my platoon's mission as it nested within the company that I was assigned to, that mission, because I worked for a captain at that time. So not only am I taking direct orders from a captain telling me, okay, this is what your unit, your platoon is going to go do, I also have to take direction from Sergeant Grant, because Sergeant Grant is doing exactly what every non-commissioned officer in the United States military, at least in the Army, I can't speak for all of them, but at least in the Army for sure, and probably in the Marine Corps, NCOs, non-commissioned officers, are the unit leaders that are right on the ground level. That's right. Non-commissioned officers are the ones that deal with the day-to-day business of prosecuting whatever it is the Army is going to do. Yeah, they're the people kicking in the doors. They're the people doing everything that the Army does. And they work for a guy like me, 22 years of age, just out of college, you know, still wet behind the ears, went to my officer basic course, came back, woohoo, I know everything, right? No, I didn't know everything. You know what Sergeant Grant told me? He said, look, sir, I think in about 9 months, we can get you to where you need to be. And of course, I'm sitting there going, hey, man, don't you know that I'm all that in a bag of chips? And, you know, of course, I didn't tell him that, because if I told him that, he would have made my life a living hell. He would have. I mean, because that's what NCOs do to young officers that don't have a clue. Yeah, okay. So if you're a young officer out there within shot of my voice and you're trying to figure out why you're having challenges, you know, operating with your senior non-commissioned officer, maybe that person hasn't respected you yet. And I don't mean they don't respect your rank. They just don't respect you as a person. So you need to fix that. So that's just my insider information. So anyhow, so Sergeant Grant tells me it's going to take about 9 months. And of course, I'm like, dude, you know who I am? I'm like all that in a bag of chips, right? So Sergeant Grant said, look, if you can get it done faster, all the more power to you. But what you have to do, and the reason this is going to take 9 months, is because you're going to have to go through an entire training cycle. So what he was talking about is that the military overlays everything that it plans to do in the upcoming year to prepare for readiness to be able to go do its job in wartime. So we do that based on training cycles. So what Sergeant Grant was imparting on me right up front was telling me, dude, you don't even know what this washing machine is like until you get into this washing machine. You go a couple cycles. Yeah. Yeah. So I did that. I did exactly what Sergeant Grant advised me to do. And I did everything I was supposed to do. I stayed focused. I let him run the platoon. Now, I took the orders from the captain and I gave the orders to the sergeant. But that sergeant was more competent and capable of running that platoon because he understood the mission of that platoon. More so, he had trained up all of his non-commissioned officers that were below him, his staff sergeants. These guys are squad leaders. And he had these guys, and actually one of them was not a guy, one of them was a gal, and she was pretty sharp. He had them all properly organized to where those squad leaders had people in their squads. And those squad leaders had two team leaders within that squad. And those team leaders had the rest of the squad divided amongst them. So this is how the leadership chain works at the smallest level of a platoon in the Army. You got like three or four soldiers working for one soldier. And that soldier is a team leader, is responsible for those three or four soldiers. That team leader is responsible to a squad leader. And that squad leader has two, maybe three team leaders, depending on how the unit's organized, that work directly for that person. Those squad leaders, I think in that unit, I had something like four or five squads. It was a big platoon. Those squad leaders all worked for Sergeant Grant. They all knew his expectations for operating the business of that platoon in conjunction with what our company was designed to do. And during that 9-month period, I put my pride in my back pocket and I got an education on how teams are built. Because Sergeant Grant didn't just like run the squad and just like, hey, sir, you just go play golf or something. I got this. Although there are officers that do stuff like that. Sergeant Grant, at the 9-month mark, I think it was a little bit, maybe like 8.5 month mark, something like that. I remember sitting down with him and we're having dinner together in the mess hall. And we were just talking about whatever we were talking about. And I just remember he just changed the conversation on me like abruptly. And he goes, hey, sir. And I go, what's that? And he goes, you're ready. And I'm like, ready for what? And he goes, it's your platoon, sir. Take charge. And I was like, what? Because I didn't even see that coming. I did not even see that coming. In my mind, I was like, man, I need to go a little longer because I don't have it all figured out. And I kind of told Sergeant Grant there, I said, you know, I kind of feel like maybe I'm not ready. And he goes, look, Let me just be real clear with you, sir. You got a lot of strengths. You got some weaknesses too, but those strengths have the ability to overwhelm those weaknesses. Oh, and by the way, you've got this great platoon here that's going to do all the stuff that needs to be done. Your job, sir, is to orchestrate. Tell me what the mission is. Put me to work for you. Let me make you proud. Let me go do all the things that I am absolutely capable of doing. Let me manage this organization because all these people report directly to me and I, sir, report to you. And I thought, wow. At that moment, I had an epiphany. See, going into this whole platoon organization, in my mind, in the craziness that goes on between my ears, I really thought that I had to manage all 30 some odd people of that platoon. Yeah, even though the Army had taught me chain of command and stuff like that, for whatever reason, I showed up at this unit and I just thought I had it in my mind. I had to know every aspect of everything that everybody was doing. And that wasn't true. That wasn't true at all. See, what I had to do was put faith, trust, and confidence into the people that work for me. That's right. Faith, trust, and confidence. That's a big thing. Now, of course, in the military, where you're designed to go into harm's way, you have to put the faith, trust, and confidence of other people in your mind. Because those are the people that are going to keep you alive. And by the way, all the things that you do in military training are designed for you to build that team even stronger and stronger and stronger. That's why our most competent and capable combat units are so destructive on the battlefield. Because we've got our stuff together. We've got it all dialed in. We're tight. We're ready. We're organized as a team. So now you're thinking, okay, dude, that was nice hearing about your past. Thank you for sharing that. What does that do for me? What does that do for me as I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio? I'm ready to like go postal because I'm sick of my job and I'm just tired. I'm just tired of where I'm at. Okay, when we come back from the break, I'm going to give you some insider information. Stick around.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you never had the time. This might be it because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. You know, I like that little bumper intro. I don't even know what they call those things. I guess they call it introduction music or something. But I like the way the guy says, we're going to help you work on the lifestyle that you deserve. Because, yeah, he's actually spot on. So how am I helping you to work on the lifestyle you deserve? Well, I'm telling you war stories. Yeah, I'm telling you war stories. I'm telling you about what it was like for me. Oh, gosh, how many years ago? 35 years ago? Man, my math might even be wrong there. No, that's about right, 35 years ago. Yeah, as I was a second lieutenant showing up in my first unit, and I had to figure out how I was going to operate as a part of this team that I had just been assigned to. Now, this team had been operating without me for a while. As a matter of fact, there was no platoon leader in that particular unit, in that particular platoon for a while. It sat vacant because of a shortage of officers at the time. So when I showed up, it's kind of like, oh, great, what's this guy going to do, right? But what I did was I, first of all, leaned on the experience of my platoon sergeant, Sergeant Grant. And what I figured out pretty quick, and this part I haven't told you yet, so here comes that insider information I promised you. One of the things I figured out really quick was that that platoon I had been assigned to, now this company had something like five or six platoons based on, I'm not going to tell you what kind of unit it was, it doesn't matter. But Vernon had been operating that platoon without somebody like me, a platoon leader, actually for almost 2 years. That's how long he went without an officer to help him out. So basically what that meant, not only did he have to do his job, he had to do my job because I wasn't there to do my job. So when I showed up to do my job, I could have been the typical officer that shows up and says, okay, y'all work for me now. We're going to change how everything's done here. That's not how I showed up. Now, I showed up because I had actually gotten a lot of mentoring from a lot of people in the Army as I was going through my officer commissioning process. And even when I went to my first officer course, I still listened to the sage advice of people that had been before me that said, do not alienate your platoon sergeant. And here's the secret sauce. I figured out very quickly that if I could earn the respect of Sergeant First Class Grant, somebody that I technically outranked, if I could earn his respect, in other words, if he understood that I was actually there as a viable element of the team, that I was going to plug myself in and stay where I needed to be so that the rest of the team could do the things that the rest of the team needed to do, which basically allowed Sergeant Grant to orchestrate all the things that I directed that team to do. And I will tell you this, because I took that approach, I had a very successful tour of duty with that unit. As a matter of fact, I was selected early for a promotion within the unit to go to another platoon that wasn't doing so well, because they had an officer over there that, well, to be honest with you, kind of went in with that attitude that I said I did not go in with. And that person didn't do very long. As a matter of fact, they didn't last very long is what I meant to say. They were gone. And after about 18, I think maybe 24 months, I was reassigned within the unit to that platoon to help fix that platoon. Because really what was going on with that platoon, it wasn't that the soldiers were bad. It was bad leadership. And that bad leadership was messing up the teamsmanship of that platoon. All I had to go in there and tell the platoon sergeant, who I had known because I've been serving with this guy for a while now, even though he didn't work directly for me, I knew who the guy was. And he was like, I am so glad you were here, because he knew my reputation. My reputation was, I'm going to come in, I'm going to do the business as it's supposed to be done. We are not going to cut corners. We're going to prosecute things the way we're supposed to prosecute things, because I've got a company commander over here that expects me to do that. But in the meantime, I'm going to tell you guys what the mission is, and I'm going to manage from my lane, and you guys do all the things you need to do. We turn that platoon around in about 6 months. And then next thing I know, I'm in the executive officer position in that company. And not because I was anything great or anything. It's because I understood people. And more so, I understood how the team was supposed to work. Yeah, you know, with all of that military experience that was bashed into my brain going through college and then my officer course, my limited experience, I had paid attention. I understood the value of that team. And that team is no different in anything you do in life. Anything. Okay, there's probably one or two things out there in life that you don't need a team for. But for the majority of the things that you do, that you want to do, you need to build a team around you. You do. So when it comes to real estate investing, I'm going to lay out the framework for you. I'm just going to tell you the steps that I believe you should take in order to get started in this process. The first thing you need to do is get a proper education. Now, whatever education means to you, you need to get a proper education. Now, a proper education means that you're going to learn all of the things that you need to understand so that you can correctly invest in residential income producing real estate. We're not going to teach you about office. We're not going to teach you about industrial. We're not going to teach you about hotels, motels, flea bags. We're not going to teach you about student housing. We're going to teach you about the bread and butter of the industry, the places where people live, because everybody needs a place to live. Whether it's a single family house, whether it's a home in an apartment community, really doesn't matter. Everybody in this country needs a place to live. And as a result of that, there's a customer base for you in this country waiting for you to produce clean, functional workforce housing. And that's our target audience. We don't necessarily invest in brand new Class A apartments or apartments that are 10 years or younger. Now, I will tell you, we do have some Lifestyles Unlimited members that do invest in Class A apartments. But I don't think you should be in Class A apartments to get started. Part of the reason some of these people are in Class A apartments is because they have had a very long period of investing. And their investing glide path has gotten them to a place where Class A apartments makes sense to them. But it doesn't make sense to entry-level investors like you and me. No, we'd rather be in those Class C properties, those properties that are really designed for the workforce of our communities. And we want to provide the best possible living experience for people without spending gobs of money to overimprove. Yeah, you can get your product to the best standard in the area where you're at pretty easily. And you can even easier overimprove. So having that knowledge of how to invest correctly is important, because part of that investment is acquiring the asset. Part of that investment is improving the asset, working on the overall value of that asset. Part of that investment is operating that property and allowing the cash flows to come through. The cash flows that you don't get from really any other type of investing. And then part of that investment is knowing when to dispose of that asset and how you choose to dispose of it as you move on to follow-on investments. Now, you can get this stuff from a book. Maybe. I don't know what book to tell you, because I've read a lot of books. And a lot of books are really good at the big strategical, maybe a little bit into the operational level, but they don't do a really good job of giving you the tactical information, the stuff that you need to know, the boots on the ground type of stuff. Well, we do that at Lifestyles Unlimited. As a matter of fact, every person that becomes a member of Lifestyles Unlimited goes through our Financial Freedom Workshop. We call it a workshop, but it's really 16 hours of getting your head around the whole investing process. We will teach you everything that you need to know. And one of the things that we will address is building your real estate team. Because like I mentioned earlier in the show, you need to have some great people on your real estate investing team, just as I had back when I was a second lieutenant in the Army, that will help you do all the things that you need to do. Because chances are you didn't quit your job. You're still working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, but you're trying to get involved with real estate. Well, there's your secret right there. By effectively organizing a team, because you understand the business model of investing, you can keep your time outlay so small, it's almost insignificant, because you're going to have the right people on your team doing the things that they need to do in order to produce the results you're looking to achieve. And it's an awesome feeling. And it's not that hard. It is not that hard. If you want to find out how to do this, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. That's freeworkshoplivestream.com. Get yourself signed up for one of our free workshops and let us change your mind.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.